The Board of Education meeting will now come to order. Mrs. Howard, would you lead us on the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're going to start with electronic participation. Board member Erica Nelson is not able to attend the meeting in person due to an employment-related obligation. In accordance with district policy, Mrs. Nelson notified the superintendent's office that she would not be physically present for the board meeting but would like to participate in the meeting by phone. May I have a motion to approve Mrs. Nelson's participation by phone in tonight's meeting?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Fenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondrat? Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Welcome, Erica.
You're back on the line?
I'm here.
Okay.
Good deal. All right, public participation.
Roll call up the home board.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I miss that? All right. Mrs. Steck, could you call the roll?
Mr. Kenwood.
Here.
Mr. Bondrat. Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mrs. Howard.
Here.
Mr. Black.
Here.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson.
Here.
We're going to move on to public participation. Is anyone present who would like to address the board at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to presentations, initiatives, and reports.
Which we have none tonight.
So we'll move on to action items. The consent agenda. Are there any items the board members would like to remove from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes human resources, personal report, employment recommendations from finance, facilities, and operations, the appointment of Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund agent, the resolution transferring funds from the education fund to the debt service fund, and other matters, approval of board meeting minutes for September 24th, 2012 regular meeting and September 24th, 2012 regular meeting closed session.
Motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Howard?
Here. Yes. Sorry.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Here. Nelson?
Close.
Yes.
Right. Let's go to superintendent's recommendations.
We have no recommendations for this evening.
All right. So let's move on to superintendent's reports.
I just want to, you have your enrollment report, which is, nothing startling or surprising there, other than would you like to note this evening how many students are in portables?
I counted 454 students and currently in portable classes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Black. And just to let you know, today was an institute day for our staff, and we had two fabulous speakers who talked to us about issues very closely related to our long-range plan, the first being Dr. Bob
Brooks.
Thank you. How could I forget? Who is a psychologist and works with students in motivation and building resiliency. He spoke directly to our learner characteristics in a both entertaining and enlightening and reflective presentation this morning, followed by another presentation by Dr.
Wahlberg.
I don't know why I can't remember these names. Dr. Wahlberg, who talked to us about autism in students and ways in which we might motivate as well as deal with their unique needs in our classroom and feel more prepared about that. And so we really feel like this morning's presentation truly aligned with not only our learner characteristics, but building our positive core, and this afternoon's presentation certainly tied to our goal number one and building a rigorous and challenging experience for all of our students. So it was a great day, and staff followed it by having some reflection time about how to translate the thoughts and the reflections of the day into their classrooms.
We've got...
Just for the record, I heard a lot of positive feedback from parents about coupling the days again with the calendar and recognizing that the high school was on the same calendar as we were, so.
Yay! And was it Brooks?
Robert Brooks.
Dr. Robert Brooks. Did Dr. Robert Brooks, does any, lesson learned or key message around our learner characteristics? I always thought they were pretty good. He didn't
pass judgment on our learner characteristics, but the fact that so many of the things he talked about today in terms of students or people in general and resilience and the ability to really succeed and withstand the struggles of learning and living, and what do we do to prepare them for that, that resilience is kind of key to some of the other learner characteristics, and that without a nurturing, compassionate, rigorous and challenging but nurturing environment, the students won't be able to have the capacity to build resilience. So throughout the day, he really referenced so many of those things which we say are lifelong learning skills.
I got a, this is Erica, I got an email from Gilda Roth, who coordinates, among other things, the Glenbard Parent Series. And Dr. Brooks spoke, I think it was 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and she emailed last week to say congratulations for bringing him on as your institute speaker. And one of the takeaways to your point, John, was that talked at some length a couple years about how about how critical it is for students to have somebody know their name as something as mm-hmm. straightforward as that connection to place. And so that's exciting that we could bring him on.
He, in fact, said the two most effective things that a teacher can do, first is to know a child by his or her name, and the second is to smile. So it was an inspiring day. And that's it for my report.
So as parents, when we forget our kids' names, that's not great.
It's not a good thing.
We call them by something else.
Or tell them you'll never amount to anything.
Right. We can go to board reports. I'll do the finance facilities report. Bob presented the 12-13 functional analysis budget report. That detailed all the different profit centers. We went through the transfer of the funds from the education fund to the debt service fund, which we will be voting on.
You already did.
We voted on the consent order, and we went through the Hadley Learning Center remodel project that Bob has been working very hard on for a number of months, and we went through some of the renderings. That's all I have. Anyone else have a board report?
I attended the Lincoln PTA, and I think one comment or one note is that they're with the STEM. They're looking to see how the PTA, until we get our STEM lab set up, plan and vision, they're looking to see how the PTA can help move that along and support it.
Any other reports?
I have a...
Go ahead, Eric.
I'm
sorry, there's feedback here. Two quick ones. The Teams for Excellence Summit was on September 27th, and I just want to do a little bit deeper dive on this. So we're about 100 teachers, staff, parents, administrators, and the working session lasted about 3 hours. The objective was to identify actions and practices to both apply the long-range plan, but also to continue to embed the learner characteristics, as we've been talking about, both in the classroom, but also, and this gets left off a little bit sometimes, but really in the work environment across the district. So within, you know, teacher to teacher, within our frontline staff, et cetera. So the focus was how do we identify some ongoing specific actions that support the long-range plan at all levels. And one other note I wanted to make, you know, the board's discussed the importance of teachers and staff and parents really having ownership for the 21st century educational practices as we begin some leadership transition next year. And I want to tell you that I walked away seeing a really true commitment by this group that sends a strong message that in fact is the case. This is theirs to own and to embed and to be creative with and innovate on. And so that was a great takeaway. So that's one quick one. And then the other one, and I'll defer to Sam and Dan and on this as well, but the chance to attend the two-page IASB dinner meeting on October 2nd. And just a quick kind of business piece from the business meeting. IASB reminded us of the change of law regarding mandatory training for board members. So if you've not completed the online Open Meetings Act training, you can go to the website for details. It's all online. It doesn't take that long. I think Steve did it, as well as maybe somebody else. And then, and I'll defer now to Sam and Dan. It's easier to hear them talk to Anne about any comments on the presentation by Dr. Shepherd and Skokie.
Yeah, we saw the presentation was done by Dr. Shepherd of Skokie 69, and I can't remember the exact verbiage, but it had to do with their recent contract where they, I guess what they would call, blew up the salary schedule and came up with a unique, interesting model for teachers' compensation. So there's a lot of good presentation on that, a lot of good question and answer on it, certainly some food for thought. And also, Erica, I think you left off, you were recognized for your achievement of
Master Board.
Master Board.
She's a new Master Board member.
All right, so congratulations to that.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Only to add that the presentation was very enlightening. It did their district may or may not mirror ours a little bit. It was interesting to see their perspective as to how they dealt with their contract situation there. For me, just a reminder, the Policy Committee is meeting October 26th at 1 o'clock to tackle our next section in the manual. We're all very excited about that. And fall dinner meeting did that. Oh, I also did a online course from the IASB as well, entitled Professional Development Leadership Training for School Board Members. It sounds like a big, long title, but the reason I did it is because, being a relatively new member, the purpose that, the little blurb of the course really attracted me, and I'll just read it to you. The purpose of the course is to help new board members learn the basic elements of education law, labor law, financial oversight and accountability and fiduciary duty as it applies to board members. And I found it some aspects I had already known, some I had picked up within the last year, and some I did not know. So I would encourage other members to at least check it out and sign up and do it. It didn't take that long, and it was very informative. So
good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Sam. Can I chirp in for just 1 second? Thank you, Sam, for talking about that. And I just want to encourage all board members, when you do some of the professional development that the association offers, I think it's great to make sure that you let them know that you're taking part in that. And I think it shows our constituents, both community members and teachers and staff, that the board take seriously its role as well in terms of its own professional development. So thanks, Sam, so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
And I just want to build just a moment on your update on the TFE summit. I'm glad that you did that because I wanted it to come under the CIT report. But I do want to say, echo Erica's words, that the TFE summit was perhaps one of the most energizing evenings that I've had in a while. I mean, I don't want to put it in context of other meetings, particularly board meetings, since they're my most often evening meetings. But to have 100 people, over 100 people in the boathouse, the Glen Ellen Boathouse, really focused on the long-range plan and most specifically on the learner characteristics and our positive core as the bookends for that plan was just energizing and demonstrated the high commitment of our leadership across the district. And when I use that language of leadership, that's over 100 teachers and support staff and parents and administrators all together in the same room serving as leaders and ambassadors in the district. And it was a very, very, very powerful night. That's it for me, even though it was a superintendent's report. I bled into your reports. I apologize for that.
Sam, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I will. When do we see the delegate proposition, supposition?
You received those, I believe, a couple weeks ago. Didn't we see those? Thursday letter. Yeah. We can resend it this week, but I think it came out... couple weeks ago.
It did. But the question I had was usually I get an email from the division as the
affirming that you are the delegate.
But I have not.
You have not
that yet.
Well, we can email them and find out when you're going to get that email confirming that you are the delegate, and then their positions.
Some, right. Mm-hmm. There's some bigger packet attached with all the.
Yeah. We have not received that. What we have are the propositions.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah. It would have been an attachment a couple weeks ago.
Right.
We haven't received the second piece.
It's a big old, packet.
Yeah.
Usually
that usually comes directly to you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And also, I think on the ISB website,
you can see it there.
You can see it there as well. I think I actually have seen the new ones there.
Which, of course, is another thank you, I'm sure, on behalf of all the board members that you're going to serve one more year as a board delegate.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam, very much.
I'm honored.
All right, shall we move on to discussion items?
And we have only one discussion item this evening, and that is to welcome Mary Fassbender and your team, Roy and...
This is Don.
Don and Roy? No.
No,
oh, okay. Sorry. Just a community member. Well, welcome. We're thrilled.
To come up closer.
Sure, please
sure.
do. And the evening's discussion is to talk about the planning process for the superintendent search.
She doesn't want to shuffle.
And
Mary, why don't you? Do you want to pull the podium? Is that easier for you?
Whatever. I mean, we can be.
I think if you put your papers on this table, it won't affect her quite so much since the microphones are over here. We're shuffling papers right now, Erica.
We're doing it very quietly.
I know. They're all being very good to me. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us back. We do have sort of an agenda, which I'm passing out in the green there, just sort of a list of bullet things that we need to kind of cover. And Don will assist me in passing these out as well. That'll be great. Because what we've tried to do is sort of give you some guideposts to be able to frame the discussion and hopefully expedite it somewhat for all of your benefit.
Perfect. Very busy.
Thank people.
You.
So let's try to make some sense of all of these, maybe, and get them in an order, just so we can all be talking on the same page. The first one that we want to take a look at, I think, is the agenda itself, and just kind of work our way through that. And that's on a green sheet.
Mary, is the topics for discussion that we received in Ann's Thursday letter?
Yes, yes.
I can't answer that one, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to turn my back to all of you also. So the first thing is the timeline for the search. And if you go down just a little bit further, you'll see a second green sheet, kind of a companion piece, and it has a set of timelines on it. So this is what we've proposed. We discussed with you, I think the last time I was here by myself, the possibility of having the search go before the holidays, and I sort of discouraged that. So this is going to reflect a modification on that, which I do think is better for everyone. You're still going to get great candidates. But you can see that basically the search would end by the end of January, the 29th. There is one date on here that I mentioned to Erica earlier today that's a conflict, at least for Don and I, and we would like you to consider changing, and I think it might be better for you as well. And that is the 24th of October. That's a Wednesday, and we actually have a conflict that night. And if it was feasible for you to change it to the Tuesday, the 23rd, that would work for both he and I. And I know that's some Tuesdays you have board meetings anyway, so maybe that's better for you also.
We only have, only if there's a holiday.
Can't we? Only if it's a holiday, so is it possible to change it to the 22nd since we will be having a board meeting on that date?
Would that work for you?
That'll work.
Sure,
yeah.
We'll make that work.
Mm-hmm.
So actually the date above it and that one would move to the 22nd.
So we just need to make sure that that's included in our agenda.
Right, exactly. The other question that I had on this is, depending upon how many groups you all have come up with for constituents that we'll be meeting with, you'll see that listed there on the 17th and 18th of October toward the top, about the sixth one down, meetings with constituent and stakeholder group reps. We'll send a team of people, or two teams, depending, but I'm not feeling like you need 2 days. Typically, you know, very, very large districts end up with 2 days, but they also have high schools, and we meet with high school students, and so forth and so on. So it's just your preference, really, as to whether or not, because we can certainly, if you had, you know, 7 to 8 groups, we can certainly accommodate them easily in a day and not feel like we were rushing through the groups.
I'm sorry, Mary, go ahead, finish.
No, it's one of those things where we're repeating the same sets of questions to each group, and then we're also having them fill out the 33 characteristics that you have seen as board members as we've contacted you from Ray and Associates. So those are the two agenda item pieces, and those will help frame not only the profile for the superintendent, but they'll also help frame the questions that you all will want to consider when you're interviewing candidates. So, and it helps us to give the candidates a lot of background about the district, kind of an insider's view, because we'll hear things from constituents that help us to get a larger picture of what you're all about.
And all of this will come back to you in a summary sheet with comments from all of the different constituent groups. It will be something that comes back that helps form the final profile, which you will approve.
The nice thing, I think, for feedback for you as a board is it will. You've done the same thing, so you have a summary of all the board's answers and their 33 quality choices, and then you'll get a summary of all the constituents group by group by group, and then a sum total, and it'll give you an idea if you're on the same page with those people that you represent, as far as what's desirous in leadership qualities.
The only thing for me, and I don't know if some work's been done around the constituent groups or stakeholder groups, I don't know if we as a board have identified those, and to identify those and notify these folks by that time frame to me seems
very short notice.
We have been given some suggestions of names, but I don't know where you all are in the process of you know, notifying them.
Who gave you some names?
Maureen and I discussed, just I gave her a list of some typical groups.
Stakeholder
groups that we typically see, and then we ended up, you know, back and forth a few times, and so that we're just, it was a draft, really.
There's some, I think she sent this out to, I sent it last Thursday's letter, which gives just some ideas of people that you may or may not want to consider. Maureen had sent that here.
Mary, to clarify, this is Erica. Mary, just to clarify John's question, the survey that they'll be getting is the same survey we got with the 33 qualities and then a place for some verbatim comments?
Well, it's a set of questions that are not exactly the same as your questions because you were asked some things about boardsmanship and superintendent relationships.
Right.
But it's very similar, and the 33 qualities are exactly the same.
Okay.
And that's the same as what people will be able to respond to online if they're unable to come to a stakeholder meeting. And you'll get dozens of people that will choose to do that in this day and age because, again, just time constraints.
So are you just thinking of having the meetings here?
Well, maybe not in this very building, but wherever it works for the majority of people to be able to participate. Sometimes we have them in schools.
Headley.
Been all over. The library, public library sometimes. I mean, it just depends on what can be worked out logistically. And parking is, you know, always another challenge.
Especially.
Yeah.
I'm a little, like John, I think I'm a little concerned just in terms of the tight time frame. My other question would be, I guess I just would want to double check because obviously staff is one of our constituent groups that it doesn't conflict with any of the other staff meetings that they have or potential negotiations. So, you know, I don't know what...
Just depends on the time of day, really.
Well, and that's the thing. Staff has to be after before school or after school.
Oh, general teaching staff?
Yeah. I don't know what the rest of the board thinks about two-day availability versus just a one-day. I kind of have mixed feelings about it in terms of... I know you say a large district, usually, you know, with a high school, but I think our small community views themselves as a larger district, and having options
is a good thing.
Sure.
No, I mean, I didn't mean to imply
that it will.
But it's just whatever can accommodate the groups in the best way. I mean, that's what we want is a large turnout.
Right.
So if having it over more than one day is going to do that, even if it's an afternoon and the next morning or two all days, I mean, whatever it needs to
be. Well, I feel like there should be an evening available for people who work because
a couple of things that I've done is in some districts we would have a morning meeting starting at 7. And we would also then come back at 7 in the evening, and we could pick up people on both ends.
Okay.
In those instances, many times we don't have meetings during the day unless it's one or two groups, specific groups.
Okay.
But your support staff and your teaching staff probably would prefer something almost right after working hours. And so to accommodate that, so they're not having to go home and come back.
Right.
Or before the workday begins. Mm-hmm. A lot of your community groups, maybe park district mayors, you know, legislative type of people, if that's a group that you'd like to have, you know, they're a little more flexible because sometimes their schedules permit that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I don't know if we're stating the obvious here, but I assume everybody wants community input. That's no longer a question, right?
Right.
So then, are these the right groups, or do we need to add any other groups?
I have a quick question. I know we have down here this cabinet principals PTA. I have had, when I was at PTA Council, two of the PTA presidents asked specifically that PTA presidents be included, and they may be lumped in with PTA, but I wanted to make that note.
Yeah, I had the same request that the PTA be involved in the meeting I had, so...
Okay.
I'm just trying to get us through a little bit because we haven't really had this discussion, and I don't know.
Right, I understand.
This wasn't in my
That's what she's just showing.
I'm just showing in. I didn't
even
get it.
It wasn't in mine either. So, are these the right groups? Does anybody want to add another group?
I have one other question, maybe, John, for you and Tara, and that is, did, in the last superintendent search, the Hadley Student Council, their leadership, get involved at all in being a part of one of the constituent groups?
No.
Did you have student input? Okay.
No.
And I see here... Glenn Bard superintendents?
No, Erica, we didn't have any student input. I mean, yeah. we were on a tight time frame, but we didn't have the student input. I don't believe.
That's a good group.
That's a good group, Glenn Bard superintendents?
Well, that group works closely with the superintendent as part of our consortium, and we serve on CASE together. We certainly have been involved in other superintendent searches as a focus group.
You mean like the feeders into...
Mm-hmm. Feeders into Glenn Bard.
I would agree with that. I think that's valuable insight.
So you're literally talking about who? I'm just saying
that. The superintendents of the six other districts. So 87, 89, 44, 93.
And you think they'll all be able to get together?
Well, we did. We have done it.
In a couple weeks?
I can't speak of the timeline, but when we did for the 87 search, we all came together as we were also invited for the... or I was invited, along with 89 and 87 for the Park District Executive Director search.
I mean, I'm happy to have you have your discussion about groups if you'd like to do that with us, but, I mean, really, you could have that at some other point in time, and then, especially if it was soon.
We have time around the 1st of November, if you think that gives you enough time for your constituents
to move it them back
to move that back into that first week. I mean, I think that
I just got to check a date on that, but
what I hear it saying is that we don't think that October 17th 18th is realistic, so I think we need to, it sounds to me like we're saying let's shift this out a week at least. A week to give people at least a notice, and then a week to be able to choose one of those time blocks, morning, afternoon, after work, et cetera.
Right. And basically, you can do the promotional flyer and everything but the profile. And once that profile, all that information material is in, that would be something that could come to you for review and approval. Then that would be added in a space provided on the flyer.
Well, that's
and
actually
the flyer
a date here, too,
yeah.
That we just moved
yeah.
to the 22nd.
Yeah, but those could be moved.
But, I mean, if we move the constituent meetings in order for us to put all this together and compile it, then we would have to move a few other things back as well.
Okay. Yeah, understood.
I mean, there will be a little dominoing.
I mean, it's that... I'm just interpreting here, but it sounds like us having our act together by the 16th of November for at least one recruiting event would be an important milestone date. Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So as long as we can, you know, I mean, I would recommend pushing the 10-17 out a week, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we get them all done in those 2 days. If there's a straggler or two, that can be done the following week. And then we're ready for that Illinois convention, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. I would ask you, I mean, the flyer, I mean, that those types of promotional materials, does that have to be, does our profile have to be completed by the time that's put together?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a part of it. Because those are the characteristics that you're going to choose, and you'll pick... Oh, anywhere from 10 to 12 things that are key, and those come off of the constituent meetings and off of what the board's summary of your leadership
okay.
qualities are. So that's.
But that could be pushed to 11.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at our calendar.
That could be pushed to the first week in November as well. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, everything could come back a week, all of those dates, but then it's just a matter of our calendars coinciding with, you know, yours
right.
and so forth.
Well, that's what we, yeah. Because then it sounds like there's a big gap between, right, December is pretty much stuff comes in, right?
Yeah, that's when
yeah,
you just
recruiting.
Need to allow about, you know, at least 4 to 6 weeks for people to apply.
I'm okay. Go ahead, Erica. Sorry.
Sorry. I'm sorry I interrupted, but I can't see you.
I know. That's why I'm letting you go.
Sorry. person that coordinates all these schedules, that would be Maureen in our office along with you, Mary?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess I would.
So what has the board decided? Have we decided
nothing.
That we want them to move this out a week or what?
Well, I just don't think a week. I feel like this is important that we should not be rushing through this process. I'm trying to.
I haven't heard anyone disagree. I mean, does anyone agree that we shouldn't? Or
I guess when I look at the groups that we have to schedule. The one for me that is the wild card in terms of availability is the community one, right? We have control over most of the others. The intergovernmental partners and the superintendents is sort of another wild card. But if we can get the teachers and the, you know, AASME and the cabinet and the PTAs and the principals and the community done, you know, to me those are sort of the way I'd prioritize. Which I think because we have control over a lot of those
right.
resources, that's possible to do by the 25th. As you know, as by the 25th or whatever your guy's schedule is, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's we do it the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, you guys have to tell us that based on your schedule.
Well, we could do something, both of us, in the 24th during the day. We just have a conflict in the evening. So that couldn't be one of the evening constituent meetings on the 24th.
But we could definitely do the
25th, I'm available. That's a Friday?
Thursday.
Yeah, that would work.
The 25th, based on just our activity calendar that we keep, looks like a great afternoon. We don't have as many meetings going on for our teacher groups. Because it's, we're pretty good. That's the fourth Thursday of the month, and so it's usually an open night for us in terms of meetings.
Well, there is a...
I'd just tell you there's a band concert that night.
5:30 to 8:30, there's a...
Right, but I mean, that's a... You know, if you did something at 4 for teachers, which you
right,
want to do
yeah,
anyway.
Right.
So are you talking about potentially considering the 25th and 26th?
I was saying 24th. The 25th after school for AFSCME or teacher groups looks like it would be a good day because we have it's the fourth Thursday of the month, which is usually not a scheduled meeting day.
Okay. Well, what if we did some during the day on the 23rd? Because we can be available on the 23rd. That's a Wednesday.
That's a 24th.
24th is a Wednesday. We could be available during the day. We just aren't available in the evening that day.
And so that would be a good day to do PTAs, community... Mm-hmm.
Cabinet, superintendents,
cabinet,
that type
right,
of thing.
Right.
And then we definitely could do a before and after, either the Wednesday or the Thursday, and then do an evening on the Thursday.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we have an evening available to community members who would like to
oh, absolutely, that. You should.
So...
I mean, typically we have an open forum that might even be a 5 o'clock and then a 7 o'clock.
But you're saying because it's a band night?
Well, but the way that they're doing like two schools, it's the elementary band. I mean, it's just, it's somewhere at, you know, it's at Hadley.
They're both at Hadley just different times.
Right. So where normally Hadley would be an excellent place to hold a forum, that night happens to have the elementary band.
For an evening forum, though, here will work.
Yeah, it should. Okay, so this is what I'm hearing you say that we're proposing. We're proposing to move this back a week, and we can have the office, you know, rearrange all of this and then put it in some kind of an order. So that kind of gets us through the end of October, and we'll readjust the you know, printing of the flyer and emailing it and so forth with the idea in mind that we will make sure that everything is out and ready to go well in advance of the tri-conference so that people have the ability to see those things there. And then if I can have you look down toward the end of this schedule at the interviews with the first of all, the 17th is a very important night. That's an evening where we would ask you to block off several hours. I know that sounds crazy, but we will give you 10 or 12 candidates on paper, and you'll be needing to be in a large space where you can go in various corners of the room and read through all of those candidates. And then at the end of that, we'll do the first forced matrix, where each board member will be asked to pick 1/2, 1/3, and so forth. And then we'll compile all those totals for each individual and for the board. And we'll tell you what are your top, if you say you want to interview face-to-face six people, these are the top six. And that would be then set the following date that you see there, which is the either the 21st or the 23rd. So that's the first question, if those dates are good for you, or do we need to look at something different? And again, on the 17th, we're talking about a large block of time.
Okay, so you need us definitely on the 17th.
The
17th of January.
Got it.
Definitely.
Yes, and then if you could go fast forward to January the 21st, that's a Monday.
It's a Martin Luther King Day. Okay.
And then look at the 23rd of January.
21st, 22nd, 23rd, trying to line up.
Well, you want 2 days in there, and I know I have a conflict on one of them. I don't have to be here for all those. We need to be here for when you finish with the last person, because then we'll do the matrix again.
Okay. Can I ask, is it better, though, to do it like on a Friday evening, Saturday morning type situation?
That's ideal.
So I would prefer us to do that than to do it in the middle of the week with people's work schedules.
Which day do you talk about?
Well, I mean, I know on the 17th we're pulling it together, so I don't know if that means we want to push it to the 25th and 26th, because the 21st is schools are closed, it's Martin Luther King Day. Excuse me, the 22nd here in the district is an institute day, so our schools are closed. Well, I shouldn't say that. Our students will not be in the buildings. I guess I would suggest us do it on the Friday the 25th and Saturday the 26th.
Okay, so leave the 17th and then and then move the next set to the 25 and 26. And then we would need to be available on the 26th to be able to do the matrix again.
Can I, Tara, I agree with you. I think it'd be better if we get it out of the work week schedule, especially. I spoke with Steve yesterday, and I did forward him the handouts that we all have, so he has them at least, but asked him to look specifically at the calendar and the January dates to see if he was, could know that far in advance, at least to block those out. So I agree. I think a weekend is better. If I can we back up, Mary, to the 17th, because I'm unclear. When you say we all have to gather, what does that describe that? Is all of us together, or is it us coming at some given point in time throughout that day to work with you? Describe that.
Typically, it's all at one time. And we would hand you a stack of all of the candidates that we've screened it down to. If you tell us 10, we'll do 10. If you say 12, we'll do 12. Each of them will be 3/4 of an inch to an inch in height. That's how much you're reading about each candidate. That's why it takes 4 hours. We do have an executive summary that helps, but you still have to read through all the materials there and make a decision about how you're going to rank order those people. So it takes a lot of time, and it does work the best when the board is all doing it together, but they're not talking to one another at all. We kind of go around almost like a little referee and make sure that everyone is making their own decision independent of anyone else. The public also appreciates that, I think, because the total of all of your weighing in ends up being the board vote, but you're doing it independently. There's no arm twisting. It's everyone making their own decision about who they want to interview face-to-face.
And I don't know if, or does it make more sense to us as a board to do it on the 10th instead of pushing it up and doing it the 18th and 19th before our long weekend? Or I don't know if somebody has a preference, because I believe what we're talking about is moving it to the 25th, 26th as our first round of interviews. And I'm going to reiterate again that if you are not available to participate at every stage from the 17th forward, you do not get a vote. You do not participate. You have to participate at every single meeting as board members. You cannot come in halfway. You're either all in or you're out.
It's like Project Runway.
It is.
There may be a little bit of a downside, and Don, weigh in on this too, of having 2 weeks, like if you say the 10th and then you go to the 25th, that's two whole weeks. We're going to notify a candidate, but you're not going to interview for 2 weeks. If they're out there and they're doing other searches, there may be a downside to that.
I'm suggesting, Mary, if you did it on the 10th, interview the 18th and 19th the following Friday, Saturday.
Okay, I missed that.
That's
Sorry.
Okay. That's what I was saying. If people felt that people are looking at a calendar already saying, I'm not available those 2 days, to push it up to the 10th and do 18th and 19th, or leave it the 17th and do 25th and 26th.
I'm open those days.
Yeah.
I'm fine with the 17th as well. I'm curious as to what a semifinalist interview looks like.
So you're talking now, the semifinalists would be, I'll just use round numbers. You've gone from 10 people we gave you on paper, you've ranked those, and you told us you want to pick six. So that's round one. You're going to meet those people face-to-face and do a full-fledged interview.
During that interview time, we will be taking and developing questions from your profiles that we will provide to you as part of the asking process or the interview process, because I can tell you right now that at that point in time when they come in, those superintendents are going to know more about your district than you do. I can guarantee it. And the questions that we develop are based upon them answering them, and they will, during an interview, figure out who's asking the most questions if you don't have that type. And they know who to go after. I mean, it's just the nature of interviewing. And if you all have questions, and we have a question coming from here, a question from here, 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 and around, they have no sense of where those questions are.
Ideally, we'll help you develop the interviews, but we'll also help you work through and decide what order you're going to ask those
Absolutely.
Questions in and who's going to ask them. And then so that the playing field is leveled for every single candidate. And some are going to be more long-winded than others, but you try to ask as many of the same questions in the same order as you can so that you can make a judgment about who responded more appropriately
right.
or better or with excellent answers and what their demeanor was and so forth.
And I can tell you this, that the matrix, and I've in 20 years I've never seen it work differently than this. You will rank as a board these 10 to 12 people that we bring in their credentials for you. You will have a break somewhere between 4, 5, and 6 that are your top candidates. Then there'll be a big space between the others. And believe it or not, thinking of the profile that you develop and sticking with your thinking on that profile, it will naturally happen. You will all come together on somewhere between 4 and 6 candidates to interview, because they will be coming closer to the cream of the crop that fits you.
So to answer your question shortly, semifinalists are that group of 6-ish. And then finalist would be what you narrow it down to, and we recommend no fewer than 2. Not 2, but more than 2, so that you would end up with not just having 2 people remaining on the chance that somebody has a conflict or decides you're not a match for them or whatever. So 3 at least.
I can give you this, Mary, too. I've had several times when we've had a runaway horse when it gets down.
Yeah, sometimes it's just a natural person. You go, this is the one.
This is the one.
And you all know it.
And that's it. We go get them that night. We don't give them a chance to think about maybe another job they're looking at. We go get them that night.
So did that answer your question?
Yeah, and the only other thing is the forum of the interview is our choosing. Where are we going to?
Well, the interview can be in closed session because it is a personnel matter,
mm-hmm.
and should be.
Yeah.
The candidates will not appreciate if it's open session and there's press and all that going on, because most of the time they have jobs, you know, that they're still in someplace
sure.
else. So the only other, when you use the word forum, it triggers a response, and that is between the semifinalists and the finalists. You had mentioned to me when I was here before you were considering whether you were going to have another round of stakeholder input, whether that be them meeting the semi or the finalist, or what form that takes on. I mean, that's yet to be determined, but us just knowing that that's the case is enough for now. You can figure the format of it at another time, but we just need to know if that's something that has to be again inserted into this timeline.
Okay.
It seemed like that was something you were desirous of.
We hadn't made a, you know, we hadn't really made a final decision about that. We just know that our...
They would depend on, like, who the candidates, you know, to me.
I think we had talked about the cabinet and the importance of the cabinet having an opportunity to meet with the final candidates. And being clear, to your point, Mary, when we spoke about this, on how their input is, you know, used, essentially.
Right.
But that was my collection. I do have, a clarification on the 17th. On the timeline, I see two activities going on. One is the board in different parts of the room going over this you know, all this information and doing our rankings. And the other piece you say at the bottom is, if desired, consultant will meet with constituents and staff interview group. And what I just heard you talk about was the need for the board to understand how we interview. So am I to assume on the 17th we also do a training of sorts so that we understand the questions, the order, who will go first, second, third? I mean, we want to look prepared, obviously, mm-hmm. and be... you know, be on the same page.
Well, yeah, training might be an actually appropriate word for it, but it's basically us working with you to, you may have some of your own questions that you work together, you know, you bring to the table. We'll have some that come from these stakeholder meetings and from what we've heard from just in general from your interests. And then we'll work through those and create a set of questions. And we'll have one ahead of time. We'll work with Maureen. We'll get a whole block of these typed up. And then you as a board, in the first part of that meeting, will decide which ones you're going to utilize. And then you'll also decide which board member is going to ask which question every time.
Great. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that because we focus mostly on the 17th, or if it's moved to the 10th, us culling the information. But clearly, this is a bigger chunk of time than maybe we're even talking about in order to do the prep well for us.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, most of the time, though, that comes off pretty well because everybody's given the forethought ahead of time as to which questions they are interested in, and then that you can't ask 30 questions, you know, in the time constraint that you have with the candidate. So, I mean, if you had 15 to 18 questions, that's plenty. You won't get to all of those, but just having them is important because you might get them with some candidates.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I think we're good on this sheet then. Can we move along?
Well, can I just ask, are we doing this the 10th or the
17th?
17th is what I was hearing.
Okay, and so then we're interviewing on the 25th and 26th?
Yes.
Okay.
So just to recap for board members so that you know what you're committing to in the scheme of all other things as well, you'll have 17th will be a special board meeting, the 22nd will be a regular board meeting, 25th and 26th special board meetings, and the 28th the regular meeting. Okay, so you can get those on your calendars.
And just so I'm clear, the 25th will be an evening, and then the 26th will be a morning, mm-hmm. early afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're blocking out our time, and Maureen reminds us to block out our time.
That 28th, is you have a calendar in front of you, and what days of the week?
I don't, but I can get to it.
So is that that 28th, which is the second round of finalists?
It's a Sunday. No,
it's like Monday the 28th, January.
Okay, so we have now Friday, Saturday.
I have a board meeting down.
The 28th is a regular board meeting.
That's listed as interviewing your final candidates.
We're kicking it out anyway, so that's why you had us interviewing on like a Monday, Tuesday, and we're saying we would prefer to interview on a Friday.
No, I'm following you there, but
interview
I'm talking
your
the next
finalist
step.
Candidate.
I'm talking on second round.
No, I understand it, but just what I'm saying, you just marked it up because the dates initially were the 21st.
Those were for the first round, the
correct,
sixth.
But then they just bumped it to the next week, which would be the following Monday. So you'd mm-hmm. Monday, Tuesday, first round, and then the following Monday would be the next round. I'm saying since we're interviewing on Friday, Saturday, you would just bump it to the next Friday to do your final. But I guess I'm also asking...
So you're saying February 1st and 2nd?
Well, that's what I'm saying. However, I actually would like to talk about the forum. I know in the past what we had done was we went for dinner. We had a different casual forum for interviewing, and I think that it actually was something that worked very well. I think it lent itself to very open, candid conversations. I know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't look at you like that. But what we had done was...
You're just having a flashback.
I am having a flashback.
She was Amelia's.
We went to Amelia's. But what we had done was we took the candidate, two board members took the candidate, and we drove the district. We had... we talked about things that were going on. We had sort of like a personal, a little more personal. And then the board, we went for dinner as a board with the candidate and their spouse. And I'm just suggesting that that was something that I felt was, it was a very good interview style method because you know, as a board, this is somebody that we will spend a great deal of time with. And if you can't share a meal with somebody, it's difficult to have, I mean, in my opinion, you know, it's there's still a personal connection with a candidate. Now, Anne, you may feel differently, or you guys may
Many boards do it exactly that way.
And
it's just another time commitment, because then if you're down to three candidates, now you're talking about three of those soirees.
I'm okay with that. I just don't feel that we should take every opportunity we can to make an informed decision, and not in my mind, a very sterile interview process of sitting in a room with seven people firing questions and waiting for responses. That's just my opinion.
I agree with you, Tara. I think we need to have a different venue for those final candidates and to allow for them to have a more relaxed opportunity to ask questions and get insight as well.
Well, the closer in proximity you can do that to the semi-finalist interviews being completed, the better. Because, again, you don't want to lose people along the way.
Right.
And if you're having that go over more than one night, then obviously that expands it already, and that's great. So you might even want to consider, like, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
right,
then, of the week following the 25th and 26th.
Right. And I'm okay with that, you guys. I'm just, like I said, I know it's a huge time commitment, but I think that, you know, since we have a board meeting on Monday, we can't really do it on Monday night. So I do think we should give ourselves that opportunity because while we don't...
I agree.
We can't rush these decisions. You have to be able to feel like we've actually made an informed decision. We owe it to our community, our staff, our kids.
Well, you got two board members feeling that way. Just hear from the rest of you how you feel, and then we can nail it down.
Did you follow me? Yeah, I think you're correct.
Okay.
We're done. Good.
All right, so then those dates on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday following the semifinalist round would be what? We're getting into February then,
so
right?
So you're doing the 30th, 31st, and 1st?
Okay.
No, actually you're doing the 31st, 1st, and 2nd if you're going to a Friday, Saturday. Is that what you're trying to do?
No, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Oh, 30th, 31st,
right.
And 1st.
30th, 31st, and February 1. Okay. Okay, great. So is everybody good with the schedule as amended, so to speak?
Motion.
Thank you.
Yeah, you don't need all that. All right. Great.
And we can talk, you know, as we get a little closer, we can probably talk about how we as a board want to handle those types of interviews.
Right. Okay.
Sure.
We already talked about the third one here, the interview groups, and then... who is going to be our in-house contact person? Would that be Maureen?
Yes.
Okay. And as far as we need one board contact person, because it just gets a little sideways in the saw if we're trying to deal with too many people.
Well, I think that the search committee did a great job, so it would be John or Tara.
I do think Tara did a great job.
Tara, are you willing?
Sure, that's fine.
All right, great.
That was easy.
I can be the backup.
Perfect.
He's usually my trusty sidekick.
Okay, the next one is the promotional flyer, and I've got a couple of examples only of that. But this is an important piece. This is an important piece in that this is what we as associates share with candidates, both in person and electronically after we've reached out to contact them. The one that, that, Sam, you have is a little unique. Most of the time they're more on the order of what Dan's holding up there. We just gave you two different samples. Usually they have photos of some things in the schools. We rely heavily on people that do a lot of that type of thing with your website. And then there has to be a space, and you'll see that on the back side for the characteristics that we're all going to agree on after we go through this process, that you value in your next leader. So those are your actual profile characteristics. So there needs to be good information about the district, because the person will read about you, and as Don said, they're going to be obviously judging, you know, is this a good place for me to be? But then we also need to have space that tells something about the community and then the position itself. So, are you good with us working together with a couple of your staff members? I mean, we'll do the formatting of it. We just need some documents, some PDFs of photos, and some copy info about the district, and then we'll put this together, and you'll see it as a draft, and it's on the timeline that we just went through. You'll have a chance to finalize that, tweak it if you want to. Are you good with that? Okay.
Great. I think Julie's area, right, of expertise?
Yeah, I just said the same thing to Ann, Erica, since Julie's our communications director.
Yeah, winking and nodding at me right there all the whole way. Okay, then the next sheet is the advertisement sheet, and that's a blue sheet. Looks like this. Don, you want to run through that one?
Well, basically, I think that there are two items here that I know draw and draw well. There's a third one in here that is the Illinois Association of School Administrators, their Illinois Education Job Bank, which is very strong in Illinois. And that is one that I believe you can go ahead as a district through your superintendent and get that out on. That's one we would recommend. And it's free. And then if you go up to the top two, AASA, the job bulletin and website, those are probably read by most superintendents across the nation, whether they're looking for a job or not. And our recommendation is to run that for 30 days in that site. And Education Week is considered the top recruiting
journal or publication.
Hard copy.
Yeah.
That is out there. And of course, with its reputation and with what it does, it's the most expensive. But we would recommend ours is a total cost of job listing to run twice, print only, and once on the website.
And then many of these are free, and the ones at the bottom you certainly can avail yourself of, but we don't typically recommend them, only because you're really kind of covering the waterfront by the top two up there, as well as having it on the Ray & Associates website and getting the hits there.
Yeah, it'll be on Ray & Associates. As a matter of fact, it's listed there now.
Mm-hmm. It just doesn't have the profile.
Right. And IASA will have it posted in the state. And then Education Week and AASA give it its total national look.
So Drew and Erica, we just kind of need a conversation where we can have you all agree that this $525 and the $2,145, which are the two that have a cost associated with them, are things that the board would approve us, putting notice in.
I'm sorry, Mary, you referred to me and to Drew. This is a board decision, however.
No, I was just thinking of president and vice president getting the rest of the group to weigh in.
Well, my question about this, when I looked at the material was, if what you're recommending, A, has worked for you in the past, and B, is the most up-to-date or current, opportunities then that certainly makes sense to me, and it sounds like that's what you're saying. The cost is, fait accompli. If that's what it costs, then that's what it costs.
Yeah, I think that you know, based upon our recommendations, this is over a number of years of doing this, that these are the three where people are going to go find the information and get online with us at Ray and Associates.
So basically, you'd be running three or four that are free, and then the two that you'd be paying for.
I don't see a reason why we wouldn't do this. I mean, this is your recommendation.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, why 30 days, not 60?
Well, your time frame, as far as your application, kind of fits in that window. If you're running an additional 30, you're sort of paying, you know, for when it's closing, and I don't think that's good money, you know, money well spent.
Thank you.
So.
And you never know when Don's going to get you an extra month.
Okay, so do we have consensus that that's the way to go?
We budgeted for the expenses, and these are recommended, so
that's fine.
I know we're talking about, you know, advertising and all that, but clearly you guys are going to use your network and all your associates across the...
That's the key, really, is the 160 people that are all over the country being able to contact people once the profile is developed.
And I'm sorry, I may have missed this, but are we doing LinkedIn or not? Was that decided or not, LinkedIn?
We don't typically recommend it, but it is an up-and-coming website. It's $195, so it's your preference.
I mean, I would personally think it could be an option, especially if some of the criteria comes out. I know one of my criteria was more of a hybrid candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be something I would suggest we consider at least. We don't have to do it now. You guys get the 33 qualities, find out I'm the only one who said that, and we don't have to do it, but it could become something that's important.
You know, it's just emerged in the last year as a much more powerful, you know, piece. Before that, it really was just fledgling, kind of starting out.
And we do work with the Broad Foundation, which is the largest producer.
If it's not a preference with a majority, then we could choose to, you know, make sure that we're screening candidates in that fashion.
So it's not for me.
It's not for
anybody.
Me.
Is it for anybody?
I guess I would actually say preferred. It doesn't have to be an end-all, be-all, but I do believe it should be preferred. Even, again, it doesn't have to be a PhD, EDD,
PhD, are the two ways that you end up
with
a doctorate. Yeah. Okay.
But that's what it says, though, right? EDD or PhD.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. It's okay. Anyone else? Dan, did you want to weigh in on that?
I didn't know.
Hello.
Okay, that's great.
Erica,
okay.
You're back online.
Okay, so then.
Thank you very much.
So the last one is the salary guide, and that's I believe a kind of a salmon sheet that you have. What I did to help frame this with the help of the office staff was to pick largely districts that were comparables in terms of regionally to you and or ones that were feeders, and then we picked several that were out of state because, again, you did express an interest in not just doing a search in Illinois alone, to give you a range, and then we ended up with the salaries that were published for the past year, and then we ended up with a 3% increase. So if you slide over to the far right-hand column, those are the figures that we're using as the basis for the average that you find in the lower right-hand corner of the $236,201. And that would be without their pension. That would just strictly be their salary.
So what are you looking for from us on?
I'm looking for some kind of guidance because when we create the brochure, you'll see in this flyer most of the time something that will be worded to the effect of in the salary in the range of, and that's how we like to word it, as opposed to a specific salary. That gives the board some wiggle room, and we say based upon experience.
And also the difference between a range of 200,000 and 220, because anybody that reads that it's a candidate is not looking at the 200. They're looking at the 220.
So what is your advice in terms of the range?
Could it be 100,000 to 500,000? I mean, what, you know, what do we need to...
Well, if you see on this one, when it's range, and that's what I've seen more recently, it just simply says the salary will be in the range of, and it puts a specific dollar amount, not like
not
a...
Not two figures.
Just one single figure, and then plus an excellent comprehensive benefit package is the second half of that sentence. That's what we see more often now than we do, you know, from 220,000 to 240,000.
Right.
We don't see that because of what he just said. People are always going to gravitate to the higher number, and, you know, the lower number is going to get lost in the shuffle. So we put one in, but, I mean, I'm sure he can tell you and I can tell you examples where we've ended up, because of the experience in the match, the person, you know, didn't get any more than that, and sometimes even a bit less.
Yeah, so let me go to the other extreme. What if we said something, you know, compensation commensurate with nearby school districts to be determined? I mean, what, you know, what does that do?
It doesn't.
You're not going to get the candidates that...
No, you have to be specific.
Yeah. Yeah.
John, can I ask a question based on kind of loosely what you just said? What's not in this information, for me at least, is what the, you know, I understand the districts that you chose. I did a little, you know, checking into some of the out-of-state ones. But is this salary also based on the level of experience we currently have in our superintendent, these certifications, Type 75 superintendent? You know, what's the salary based on?
Sure. The salary, when you take a look at the salaries, we take a look at them from the standpoint of who's going to be applying for the job. People in high-performing districts are normally also making compensation comparable to that. And I think what I have found and what we have found over the years is if you're offering $200,000, you're going to have people that are making $150,000. Applying for the job. Now, are they in a position that they know what's going on in a district of your caliber or not? If you're looking at $240,000, you're going to have people in the $200,000 to $220,000 applying for those jobs. You will have a whole different caliber of candidate for your jobs. They will be those who are, I would say, producing more in terms of what you would be looking for.
Erica, and
so what
just to
is
add on...
Sure, go ahead.
Just to add on to that, I can't answer your question specifically as to the number of years' experience for each of these school district superintendents. I can tell you that they are qualified for their job in their state, and all states have similar requirements with a superintendent's endorsement. But as far as longevity, I can't tell you that. You know, Ann obviously has been a superintendent in more than one district, and so this would vary from district to district as to how many years' experience they have in the superintendency. And that's another thing that you as a board have to think about, too. Are you willing to take, you know, in candidates to consider that have not been superintendents but have been a central office assistant superintendent for curriculum or, you know, HR or something like that. So
right.
I can't say
so,
that.
So I guess for me.
John, can I just.
Yep,
sorry, Donna. I know it's hard to have me calling in. I really apologize, you guys, because you can't see me. But just two follow ups. So one is what I hear you saying is that you're confirming that there is a ratio, a direct ratio between what the salary, you know, ranges, that single number that you're suggesting, and the level, the caliber of people that will get to apply. And then secondarily, and it just went out of my head. Oh, I know what it was. When we put that number down in writing, in print, and advertise for that, what is the expectation, I won't say liability, although I'm thinking about that too, but what is the expectation that a candidate would come in? We're still negotiating on salary up until the point where they're offered the position. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry, John. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that for me, this is hard to discuss now because I don't know what the 33 qualities are and what they drive. So I don't know if this is a discussion that we can have once we better understand what it is we're looking for. I mean, I know what I'm looking for, and I might say, based on that, here's what I think I would want to go. But I think the experience and the qualities what we're looking for is help, you know, will drive some of this. That maybe I'm just looking at it backwards, but it just seems to me right now to just say we know what that range is without really understanding what we're looking for. I don't know, it's just not,
you're gonna,
not working.
You're going to shorten your timeline a little bit if you don't get the 33 qualities. You know, if you have the salary is not posted on Ray Associate website and other places before you have that done.
Well, no, it needs to be done, but the way I'm looking at this is we do have...
I think what John is suggesting is he's not comfortable saying, giving the salary range until we've developed the profile of what our candidate would look like, and then attaching, you know, a number, shall we say, a number to that. Is that what you're...
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying, so first of all, I don't know if you're asking for a decision on this now.
Yes.
Or...
Yes.
Okay, so you are.
Yes.
And I'm saying, you know, until we have this meeting that you guys just changed the date on, where we kind of come back and say...
The 25th, no?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, if it's the 25th, say, okay, here's what we think we're looking for. I mean, some of the qualities, someone might say, hey, up-and-comer, good at filing. That's what we all agree to. To me, that would have a different salary value to it than, you know, innovative leader, you know, type person. So I just feel that...
I don't think you're going to get... Your summary from this district is not going to be somebody who's filing. It's going to be very high-powered characteristics that you and your community are going to seek because that's what they've had.
What I'm saying is I don't know if the team here agrees with that.
That it would be
so. I don't know what the other board members are thinking in terms of what they want.
Okay, I'm disconnecting somewhere there.
What he's saying, what
not
he's saying is he wants
high-powered.
Yeah, he wants to see the profile.
No, I understand that piece.
Everybody.
Yeah, I understand that piece.
Maybe they don't want to see a high-performing, super.
So the board meeting on the 25th now, where we have we've moved it to the 25th.
Could you go back on that date?
You wouldn't publish this anyway until you publish the flyer, right?
We put it in our website before the flyer is done, absolutely.
Okay, so when do you...
But it wouldn't have to be.
But I mean, that's
what we typically do. But according to the schedule, when would you publish this? You wouldn't publish it next week.
No, it would be after that, after you finalize the profile then.
Right, on the 25th.
Right.
But what I'm saying is once we have that profile on the 25th, at least me, and there are six other people here, they can change this. But once we have that profile, I think we'd have a better idea to say, with your guys' guidance, what is that command in the marketplace, what we're looking for? Mm-hmm. You guys might say, hey, that command's...
Well, that's your preference.
You guys might say, that command's 400,000, and then, you know, we might say, great.
No, we won't.
Okay. Let's
Does anybody else feel that way, or is everyone good to
go
say...
Go ahead, you guys, go ahead.
No, I think that's a good idea,
yeah,
because
okay,
it's kind of hard to throw out a range, then somebody say, well, no, that's not going to work with your criteria.
They need to. They think they do. The two concepts do need to be aligned.
Okay, let's be honest, people. Let's get to the crux of this. Who's going to apply for our? We're not even going to like sniff at some of the people that you're referring to for a good reason. The salary range. We need to be realistic about what it is. Who do we want to attract? We can have these, you know, philosophical discussions about what this person is going to look like. But the truth is, we're not going to get somebody in our district under 200 grand that we believe is what this district should have. It's just not going to happen. If it is, then...
I agree with you, Sarah. And I think the whole reason that Ray and Associates put this salary schedule together for us was to do that reality check.
Right.
I don't disagree with you, John, that... you know, we want to make sure that we're all aligned as a board. I think there is this reality, and I agree with Tara completely, that we're not going to be having somebody walk in here for less than $200,000. And if, Don, what you're saying is accurate, and I trust what you're saying, that your experience is that if you give a range or a number around the range of 200, which may go from 185 to 225 or whatever, and you have folks applying at the 150 range, then those folks may not be up to speed for us. So, that's the whole reason we got this estimate.
And I'm not suggesting that we don't want to, talk about what does our candidate look like and have a better framework for it. But to suggest, let's be honest, let's look at what they've given us. And Whitefish Bay, which is a very nice school district and a very nice community in Wisconsin, also probably has a cost of living that is significantly less than Glen Ellyn. So,
I'm not sure about that. My brother lives in Whitefish Bay.
Well, I think it's commensurate to what that community, the cost of living in that area would be for Wisconsin. Outside of that one, they're all over $200,000, including Marquardt 15, which is a Glenbard feeder district, at $310,000. So, we need a reality check, you guys, about a starting salary of $200,000 is fair. I think anybody.
So you're saying you'd want to put $200,000 in this fire, and that's the number you want to put in?
Well, I think if they're asking us for a number right now to get us started down this path and we can develop the profile, to suggest that we're going to come up with a number under $200,000, I think is, you guys are kidding yourselves. And that is not the quality of the person. Whatever hybrid or whatever the other qualities that we're going to come up with, I'm sorry, it's not going to be under $200,000. Don't kid yourselves. Because I, from my experience, I have interviewed that candidate, and that candidate was taken off the table so fast he didn't finish, he barely finished the interview.
He or she.
No, it was a he. Barely finished the interview. So it's be realistic. I know we want to be idealistic, but be realistic throughout this process. Okay?
And we have the data in front of us.
Either asking the professionals their opinion and they're giving you their opinion and then you choose to ignore them then we should have done this ourselves.
Well, I'm not sure you're talking about that some data. I don't know what data you're using. But I think it is appropriate to look at when you talk about the experience, I certainly would hope that a more experienced candidate, 20, 30 plus years of superintendent experience is probably going to command a higher salary than someone that's a lot younger. So without knowing where these people are at, it's hard to give a basis of comparison. I do know there are some superintendents in the Chicago area that are already well under 200,000 that are high performing. So I don't think you can just throw that out and discount and say they don't exist, because they do.
I am sure they exist. I guess, truthfully, I find it hard to imagine that they are what our community would consider the same types of communities. I'm sorry, I don't.
Is there some super benefit in you postponing this decision? Because I will tell you up front, every board wrangles with this. This is not like you have a corner on this market. Everyone does.
Waiting will give you an opportunity to think and to look at the profile and make a decision from what the profile is telling you, then fine. It's what you're going to be happy with. It's what you as a board have developed and will be working with. So you're going to be, all of you, happy with the decisions that you make. Maybe happy is the wrong word. It sounds more like a meal at McDonald's. But you're going to be, you're going to feel good about it. The decisions that you make, and if putting this off,
a couple of weeks.
Not putting it off, it's gathering the data and getting the information that you need to make an educated decision. Then fine.
Stop dead date, Don and Mary, for this? When do you have to have this decision made?
Well, I would say you're definitely going to need it by that special board meeting that you're having now. We've just changed the date to the 25th because that's where we've said now board to finalize superintendent profile. And
Wait,
can I go back?
I was going to say I thought
that's a stakeholder
right,
group
I thought
meeting
that was
night.
Well, but it's also a night where the board, see the second piece of that, finalizes the profile.
Right, but I'm confused because I thought we were doing...
You want to move that to a different date also?
Well, I
guess, we got to.
Yeah, because we were doing the stakeholder groups that evening, I thought.
Well, the stakeholder groups are the 24th in the morning and the 25th all day, including evening, is what I had.
Mm-hmm. Right, so how are we to finalize that if the stakeholder group is meeting...
Well, then we just need to pick a different date when we're going to do it. But you just can't keep pushing it back very far, much further, and expect that you're going to have enough time for this person to, A, think of applying, advertise, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key milestone is this recruitment at Illinois, right?
Right. Well, that's only one of them. But you want people to know that you have this position well in advance of that so they'll come by and talk to us.
Right. So, I'm sorry, maybe I didn't understand, but the 25th was when we should...
I thought that's when we were finalizing the profile.
Finalize the profile.
Along
say,
with doing the stakeholder
group. Here's
what
we think the salary.
So, okay, because we're going to have a night meeting.
That's what I'm saying. So, would we be meeting after the stakeholder group met that evening at, 8, 9 o'clock at night to finalize that?
Well, would there be enough time, Nicole, to put together all the information
that
we could digest?
That would be tough to turn that around, yeah.
That's why I'm asking.
It's got to be a couple of days.
Can you do the 29th?
But guys,
that Monday?
Let me
venture on here.
Mike, go ahead.
I think what's important in terms of input for the salary discussion is what we're looking for as a candidate. So you guys, I'm assuming everyone has, we've all done that, right? You've done the interviews. Those are all done with all of us?
No, Steve
is not. We're getting there.
Except one, okay. And then the 33 qualities, when is that due to you?
That was due also, and we have most of those in.
Okay.
I'm going to pick up two of them tonight.
Okay. So, again, I don't know, but is that what you need to say, okay, here's what the board's looking
for? Well,
that's
just the board's piece. That's not the community.
That's our piece, but that's
it. Right.
That's
an important piece.
It's an important piece to know if we're all on that same page or not, which should help at least me feel more comfortable with what kind of salary range we should put.
But the profile will really be based upon not just your input. It's
yep.
going to be based on everyone's input
in
the community.
We should have that by this week.
By which week?
That meaning the board's input.
Yeah.
You should have the board's input by this week is what he's suggesting.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, I'm hearing two options. I heard two people say it's got to, the number should be 200,000. I've heard me say I'm not sure I'm comfortable until I understand what we're looking for. I think I heard Dan kind of say, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know about the rest of you, but we should come to a decision here.
I heard 200,000 as the floor. I didn't hear 200,000 as the number yet.
Okay,
did I misunderstand you?
No, I mean, I was just saying, looking at what you presented, you're telling us, in your professional opinion, do not say between 200, between X and Y.
Right.
You're saying just a number that's sort of the baseline.
But you weren't suggesting that 200,000 should be the number.
Actually, I am. I'm fine with that.
She's saying to put it in.
I am okay with that based on the information that you are giving us, based on what I believe our district would command, the quality of the individual and the experience level of the individual that we would have. I think 200,000 is a fair baseline to advertise. I mean, again, looking at the information that you gave us, looking at the districts that you in terms of a comparison of ours, 200 is actually on the extremely low, is on the low end of this range.
And
And if you're telling us that we're not going to get too many sniffs at the kind of people that you believe that we should be attracting for anything under 200,000, then why would we?
I think I want to go on record as telling you that.
Please
if you're not going to be at least at 200,000, you're going to have a reduced pool of candidates in terms of the quality.
Yeah.
And I know
be
I
be succinct.
Dan, I'm not. I understand that you believe that there are people out there, and I am sure that there are. There are quality people who make less than $200,000 as superintendents across the state of Illinois. However, our district commands better. It commands more. It will attract more, and you are not going to get somebody who's going to uproot their family from Colorado, for example, for under $200,000 to move into a community where the cost of living, the housing market is such that it has to be worth somebody's while to want to come here. I'm not saying we're going to land at 200. For who knows? We could be under 200. But if you're asking us and telling us in your professional opinion, $200,000 is the number for a community, a district like ours. Again, you have, that's what you're telling us.
So, what? Drew, close this out for us somehow. What are we going to do?
Well, let me say, Drew, for a minute, because I have not weighed in at all on this, and I, for good reason. I'm having a hard time with it, and I just don't feel comfortable with coming up with a number after just literally seeing this for 45 minutes. I just don't. We all talk about this is one of the biggest decisions that we're going to make as a board, and I just feel as though we're rushing through this. I don't think there's any reason to not compile these qualities and look at them and see what they are. And if we're going in one direction, that's great. If we're going in another direction, that's fine too. But I just don't think that we can just, I don't want to say come up with a number out of the air, because you guys have done this, you compiled this list. But I just don't feel comfortable doing it right now.
Well, I think it sounds like that's how the majority is feeling. So let's pick the date that we're going to come back here and we're going to have this conversation and try to come up with that final number and get this advertised in a timely fashion. And to me, it would have to be, now that we've moved the stakeholder meetings to the 24th and 25th, we're going to need a couple of days, because you don't have stakeholder meetings unless you value that input. So that has to get rolled into this equation, not just the board's input. So then you're going to be talking about a couple days after that 25th.
To the 29th.
So what works for you all in that regard?
And what are the, and Dan and Sam, what are the, are you have negotiation meetings scheduled that week, week of the 29th?
No, Ann's suggesting the 29th would be Monday the 29th.
October.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's open?
I don't have that scheduled to be. I don't have that in front
of me. It'd be October 29th.
No, there isn't. There is for the 30th, but not the 29th.
Okay. Use a Monday and need to complete this.
That could be a fairly quick meeting, I would think, like a special meeting that you would have.
That is actually the one that is scheduled on 10/24/12.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We could do that meeting to finalize the profile and establish the salary.
Okay.
And that would take place on the 10/29/12.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so then will you adjust these dates?
Yes, I'll
for
send
the
out.
Promotional flyer and stuff?
Yeah, we'll get everything adjusted. Yeah.
We should be able to turn that around the next day or so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there anything else you need from us?
No, I think that's it.
I think we got it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Mary, I wanted to give you something.
Yeah, I have.
I'm good. I did my mistake.
This is what I did. If I finalize it in yellow, I have no interest in it. Green, I have interest in it. Okay, and then blue, but I need 10. Yeah, only 10. Okay, no, you got 10. Okay. Yellow, I don't care. Blue,
yes.
I could care about it. Green, I definitely want it. And then I wrote my own down.
Very?
Yeah. And then this guy wrote my own down.
Okay. Oh, great.
Okay. Yeah.
You might have a copy on me. I'm assuming.
And then I got it. Email
you could email it. Just good. Scan it and send it to me, and I'll send it on. That'd be great. Here we go. Did anybody else need one?
Yeah.
33 qualities?
So if you could just scan it.
This is the toughest decision you'll make. And it takes time. That always hurts.
All right. We have upcoming meetings. The October 22nd, 2012 regular board meeting at 7:30 at the CSO, and then the November 12th, 2012, the regular board meeting, 7:30 at Hadley Junior High. Are there any other matters to be considered before the board at this time? None. Is there anyone present who would like to address the board at this time? Hearing none. The board has determined that he needs to adjourn to closed session to discuss the following matters: collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more class of employees, purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired, and the employment, compensation, discipline, performance, and dismissal of specific employees or district of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony of any complaint lodged against any employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion presented.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
The board will not be taking action when it returns from closed session.
Thank you, everybody.